starts off like this. Vayishuv Yaakov Beretz Megori Aviv Beretz Canaan. Yaakov lived in the land that his father sojourned, in the land of Canaan. Meguri is a very, very weird word. The word Meguri, according to the Hasidish Svarim that use Drushim on certain words, will translate Magur as a word like Vayogor Moav. The Moav got very afraid, got very, very scared. That's Vayogor Moav. The Kedushas Levi, especially, Rabbi Levi Yisrael Radish, says that Beretz Megori Aviv is a place of fear of his father, so to speak. Where his father got all scared. Now we got to understand something. Yitzchak was the man of Yira. He was the man of Yiras Hashem. Yiras HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Yitzchak was all about. He's Midas HaDin of Klal Yisrael. Midas HaDin of Klal Yisrael. That means that the ultimate fear of God was by Yitzchak. He was the ultimate Yira that you could possibly think of. There's nothing like him. He is known as Pachad Yitzchak. Pachad Yitzchak, the fear of Yitzchak that he has in front of him. Yaakov took that and always worried. Shema Yigrom. Finish it off for me. Hachet. That's right, that's right.
I'm like saying
Shema Yigrom Hachet.
You actually do what you're talking about.
Shema Yigrom Hachet. He's always afraid that something bad's going to happen. Now here's some shots. Says Rashi in the very beginning, Achashar Kazalacha Yeshuva Yaakov, etc. It goes into Yaakov, you know, wanting to have Shalva, wanting to be peaceful, wants to have tranquility. He wants everything to be okay. And Kadosh Baruch Hu says, Tzadikim can't have that tranquility in this world. Can't have it over here. You ready for this? Why can't a Tzadik have this? Pshat is like this. Says the Radomsker. Yaakov Avinu had no Yetzirah at this point. There was nothing he could do wrong. But Yavo Yaakov Shalem, that he came full to Shechem, there was nothing that he could do that could make him wrong. As we spoke about last week, with everything that he did with Shechem and Dina, he had no sheiches to chait. He had no sheiches to sinning. He had no sheiches doing anything wrong. There was nothing that he could do that was off.
Why couldn't he bring up like the world where it was supposed to
be? He tried to bring it up. That was part of what Yaakovina was doing. That's why he wanted Sheket v'Shalva. He wanted the whole world to be at peace. He wanted this to be the times of Mashiach. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that's not the point of this world. The point of this world is not for tzaddikim, not for Olam Hazeh, for there to be Sheket v'Shalva and you get to do whatever you want to live. That's for the times of Mashiach. That's the times of Olam Haba. That's when everybody's going to have it good. Olam Hazeh means there's issues that you have to deal with. There's a Muna that you have to have. There's Bitachon that you have to have. You have to fight people. You have to fight different things. So even though he had no chesronos, he had no yetzahara, he had no chance of doing a sin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is the time when he has to have something go wrong. This is the time for it, for him to get more and more reward. And that was Yosef being sold. He wanted to live b'shek v'shalva, and Hashem said, it's impossible. You can't do it. It's not, I can't have this in this world. That's it. But says the Ma'aril, I'm sorry? Especially with 12 kids. Says the Ma'aril, he got a little bit of it. He got a tiny little bit. He tried to bring it in and was able to get just a tiny little bit of taste of Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. Able to get a taste of Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh. What did he do? He took out Yira and Pachad. Took out Yira and Pachad. And he started fearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Fearing God not because of what he could do, but fearing God for what he is. Realizing how great God is and saying to himself, oh my gosh, God is ridiculous. God is unbelievable. God is beyond understanding. He sat there and he said that. And you know what that does? That sweetens the world. He took the Midas Adin and sweetened it. He turned it into good stuff. Said it turned into bracha and shemayim. That was the point of a tzaddik. So thus, by Yeshev Yaakov be'eretz Meguri Aviv be'eretz Kanaan, he sat there and he feared God and he tried to make Eretz Kanaan into a place where by Yeshev he could live b'shalva v'hashkeith. But Hashem said, I'm not going to allow it. Not going to allow it to happen. I'm going to make sure that something happens over here. Now here we go. Eila told us Yaakov Yosef. Here's the generations of Yaakov Yosef. Now that's not true. Yaakov obviously had 12 generations, not including Dina and everybody else. There were obviously other people around here. So what does it mean that Yaakov's generations were Yosef? What are we referring to when we say this? So here we go. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says Yaakov is similar to Yosef in 14 different ways. You ready for the 14 different ways? It's a lot. He was chased and hated by his brother Esav for Yaakov, you know, and obviously the Shvatim by Yosef Hatzadik. Number two, his mother was barren. Number three, they were both born with bris milas. Number four, their mother had hard labor. Number five, they both gave birth to two babies, Esav and Yaakov and Yosef and Binyamin. Number six, they were both shepherds and learned at the same time. Number seven, they were both married in Chutz Laretz. Number eight, they both were together with kings in some way, shape, or form. Yaakov, you know, along with, if you want to say from from what's his name, from Lavan or Esav, whatever it is, and Yosef HaTzadik from Mitzrayim, obviously. Number also included with that is that they both had gullus. They were both sent into exile. Number nine, they both had dreams that helped them. We know about Yosef HaTzadik. Anybody know about Yaakov Avinu?
Yeah,
no, that's not the dream. Although that is a dream that helped him a little bit. The dream that helped him was with the sheep. Strange, the sheep, with everything. He was told what to do. That's how he became successful. Number 10, the houses of the Goyim that they stayed by were blessed. Potiphar and Lavan both made a lot of money because they were there. Number 11, they both had issues with Arias. Yaakov married two sisters, maybe four sisters. Yosef HaTzadik had the issue with Potiphar. Number 12, they both died in Mitzrayim. Number 13, they were both embalmed. Number 14, they're both buried in Eretz Yisrael. Both buried in Eretz Yisrael eventually. That's 14 different things where Yosef was mamish, a prototype of Yaakov Avinu. He looked exactly like Yaakov Avinu. That's the pshat. When it says, Il tos Yaakov Yosef, in Shvahasre Shana Hoya, Roes Achav Batzon, Vu Nar. What does Nar mean? Anybody remember from Rashi? What does it mean by Nar? Refers to what? He used to make himself look good. Comb his hair, build up his body a little bit, make himself look really, really good, like a very nice looking boy.
He looked just like his mother, because the pasuk says Yifat
Tor, Yifat Mar. Yifat Tor, Yifat Mar by him, and Yifat Tor, Yifat Mar by her. 100%. He did have the aspects of Rachel Imenu, but he looked exactly like Yaakov Avinu. Now here's the pshat. We have to understand, Yosef HaTzadik doesn't do things stam. Doesn't make himself look good just stop because he wants to make himself look good. He doesn't just stop and comb his hair in the mirror because, oh, he looks how he looks in the mirror. Like, oh, he puts in curls at night, you know, and everything like that. Well, come on. He's not that. It's not what he's all about. So what's pshat behind Yosef HaTzadik trying to make himself look good? What does he want with that? What is he trying to do? This is an unbelievable vort. I'm going to give you three vorts right now. Yaakov's image was on the Kisya Kavod. He looked like the Adam Rishon that was on the Kisei HaKavod. Yosef looked like Yaakov, which means that when Yaakov looked at Yosef, what was he looking at?
Himself.
He was seeing the Kisei HaKavod. He's seeing himself. He's seeing the Kisei HaKavod. Looking at the Kisei HaKavod. Yosef wanted him to see what the Kisei HaKavod, the picture, the image on the Kisei HaKavod looks like. He made himself as beautiful as he could in this world. So that Yaakov would get more and more hana from how beautiful that vision was on the Kisei HaKavod. That's what he did. Tried to make himself look unbelievably good and dress himself up for that so that Yaakov would get benefit. Not for himself. Never did it for himself. He doesn't gain anything. It's not like he was, I'm sorry to say it this way, it is Yosef HaTzadik, hitting on anybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't going out into the fields and saying, like, hey, look at me, I did my eyes today. That's not what he was doing. He wasn't going for anybody. He even stayed away from everybody. But he did it because he knew that that's what Yaakov Avinu wanted him to do. Tiferet Shlomo says a totally different shot, but I guess you can connect it somehow. Yosef was not in this world. His head was in Shemayim. Think about it. The stars and the moon and the sun were bowing down to me. Where was he? All the sun, the moon, and the stars bow down to me. Where was he? Where was he? How did the sun, the moon, and the stars bow down to him? Where was he? Where was he standing?
His parents' house.
In the middle of the sky. In the dream, he was standing in the middle of the sky. The sun, the moon, and the stars. His head was in Shemayim. He said it wasn't down here on earth. He was looking up in Shemayim and seeing these things up there. And the way that he looks physically represented what was going on in Shemayim. He was bechlal not in this world. And he knew that he was going to be a king. And melech biyafyo techazanei necho. A melech has to look beautiful. He has a chiyuv to get a haircut every day. Do you hear that? A chiyuv. He can't be mochel on his kavod. If he doesn't look beautiful as he could every single day, he's got an issue, and he might be over on an asay. Might be over on an asay every time the melech doesn't do that. So says Yosef, I'm the melech. They're going to bow down to me. Everyone's going to give it. They're going to do things for me. Said Yosef, they better look at me, and they better think great things about me. So he did it because he was up in the air. But I'm going to add to this question, it's so crazy. I'm going to make this question so unbelievable. You're going to go home, you're going to be like, that was crazy. And you'll never be able to repeat it. You have to go to the website, and you're going to have to listen to it again. And you will, and you'll take notes that time. Because you got to take notes on this. This is one of the craziest words I've ever heard before in my life. Sesor Damsker, do you notice how much clothes are involved in this parsha? Yosef is given the Ksonis Pasim. The Shvatim tear off that Ksonis Pasim. They take that Ksonis Pasim and they dip it into blood and they give it over to Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu looks at the Ksonis Pasim and says, Oy vey, Torov Torah Yosef. He goes down to Eishes Potiphar. What does Eishes Potiphar grab onto? His clothing. His clothing. What does he do when he leaves jail and he goes and sees Paro? Changes his clothing. That. What in the world is going on over here? The shoes. What in the world is going on over here? What's with the clothing? What does clothing mean? Zleika, Eishes Potiphar went and grabbed that clothing into Spaseo Bebigdo. What does that mean? Okay. A lavush is a way for God to bring the Ora Gunus into this world. Here we go. The Ora Gunus was hidden for Tzidikim, was created on the first day of creation. Or and Choshech were created. That Or was too great to be in this world. There was no sun then. Don't tell me it's the sunlight. It's not the sunlight. The Ora Gunus is a light that's beyond spirit. It's spiritual. It's a spiritual light. It'd be too great for us in this world. If we sat there and we had this light, we wouldn't be able to survive. It would shine down on us and we'd just die. You wouldn't be able to survive with this light shining down on us. That's how great that Ora Gunus is. It's impossible to be able to live with that light there. A person, the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the idea of a levush, of clothing, is from the Baal HaTanya, is because Hashem has to be mitzamsem that or. Call it like this. I'm going to give you an example with my hands. I'm sorry for anybody who's listening. The light is like that. Hashem compresses all the light, sort of like a file on a computer, compresses it all down till it becomes as minute as it possibly can get. Because the light in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is huge and unbelievably powerful. We wouldn't be able to take that. So Hashem is mitzamsem it and tightens it up till it becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. That is what is called a lavush. I heard you the first 12 times. I didn't think it was funny like, that time.
No.
Either way, he went ahead and made it all the way small. That compressing is something called a lavush. Something called a lavush. The lavush that a person wears on the outside, the clothing that a person wears on the outside, is that ore compressed into a tiny, tiny little bit. Those clothes block the body. It's a lavush, but it's a spiritual lavush. They block the body from getting suntans or sunburns from that Ora Gunus, which would destroy your physical body. That's the idea. What do clothes do? They keep in the heat and keep out the cold. Anything that I need, the clothes take in. Anything that I don't need, the clothes keep out. They kick out from all sides. That's what it does. It's like a... And that's what it does. It takes that Ora Gunus and translates that into this world, into Shefa, into something good inside this world. The clothes act as a screen, as a window between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and us down on this world. It goes out and takes that stuff and then spreads it around to everyone around you. Spreads everything all over the place. That's what it does. It brings Kedusha down and is given over to everybody else. That's why a tzaddik who works in the Beis HaMikdash has to wear Big Day Kahuna. Because think of what he's doing. What's he doing when he's doing the Avoda? He's serving in the Beis HaMikdash. Yaakov, you're going to be serving in the Beis HaMikdash soon, maybe even tomorrow. Don't worry about the snowstorm. Snowstorm's coming. Nobody's going to move out. You'll be fine. Tomorrow morning, you get up. You have to go to the Beis HaMikdash. You're doing the Avoda. You bring up a korban. You take a korban, you burn it, and you bring it up to Shemayim. What comes down? Bracha, Parnasa, Shefa, all the greatest things in the world, the Tov of the world comes down from Shemayim and enters inside our body. That's what happens. The Tov of the world up above, the Tov of Shemayim comes down into our bodies and we get affected by it. But you need a conduit. You need something to take that bracha down. It can't just come into anywhere. So what do? You have Big Day Kahuna. One piece of clothing for every world. There are four worlds. That's not something that I like getting into. Yitzira, Bria, Asiya, and, hold on, Atzilus. Very good. Those are the four that are mentioned over there. Apparently we have a Kabbalist here. Donnie, I don't know what you did in Arts Yisrael, but alright. We have four all together that are mentioned. All those four worlds, each one is represented by a different part of the clothing that the Kohen wears. Kohen has four clothing, and the Kohen Gadol has?
Eight
clothing. Because he doubles up. He has a double part. It's sort of like he has double the amount of what he can accomplish inside this world, of the Kedusha that he can accomplish inside this world. We're going crazy now. You ready for the craziness? That's what happens. The Kohen goes in and brings up a korban, brings everything back down. That's why you wear those clothes. And if you don't wear those clothes, what happens to you? You die. You know why? You know why you die? Because you can't take the amount of tov that's coming down without that lavush that's surrounding you. You need clothes to block it out. Otherwise, the sunburn that comes is so great, you just sit there and die. We wear tzitzis every day. Every day. You know why? Because every time you wear tzitzis and you have those strings that are conduits going throughout your entire body, you not only protect yourself, you bring about kedusha from Shemayim and Shefa and Bracha, Batzlocha and Parnoso. All the brachos that they give you, that the tzedakah guys give you. It goes straight down into your tzitzis and spreads throughout your body. It's tefillin. The straps that you wear on your head, the tefillin faces up and it brings it down and spreads it throughout your body with the straps that go down your body. That's what you're getting. You're getting all the greatest stuff in the world. Yosef got a ksonis pasim. You know what the ksonis pasim was? It was the big day kuna. It was four pieces of clothing that Yosef wore. Pasim is four letters for that reason, that he wore in order to bring about the Shefa, Bracha, Vatzlacha, and Parnassa throughout, from the upper worlds down to himself and the rest of the world. That's what Yosef did. Yaakov wasn't stop giving out coats. He wasn't stop making a Technicolor dream coat that was red and blue and orange and red and green. That wasn't what he's doing. He's giving an ability. You're the Kohen Gadol, Yosef. You're going to be like the Kohen Gadol. You're bringing down Shefa and Parnassa with your Avoda and Shemayim. You're the Tzaddik Yisod Olam like no one else. There's no one that's as great of a Tzaddik as you. No one. And therefore, you're going to be the one that's going to bring everything down. You know who owned these clothing beforehand? Okay. Who had this clothing beforehand? I mean, way before. Who did they originally belong to?
Adam
Arisha. It's the clothes of Adam. It brought down Shefa and Bracha and Atzlacha down to the entire world. The entire world was affected by it. It just stopped. Everybody got this Bracha, Shefa, and Parnassa. Everybody got it. But you need a guy to be the conduit. You can't just stop come down. You need a conduit for it. Said the Shvatim, no. Anybody can do it. Do you daven this morning?
Yes.
Good thing. Thank God, because otherwise that would be really embarrassing.
No.
You daven, you can bring down the Shefa yourself. You don't need a tzaddik to do it. You can do it yourself. That's why you wear tzitzis. That's why you wear tefillin. You don't let just a tzaddik do it. You can do it yourself. Said the Shvatim to Yosef, we don't need a Rebbe. We don't need a leader. We don't need a tzaddik. Anybody can do this. Yaakov can do it. Rafi can do it. Anybody can do it. Does Tom need somebody? Said Yosef HaTzadik, no. You need one guy that's doing it for everyone. You need one guy that's leading everyone and everyone following him. And if you don't have that, then eventually people start petering off and they don't realize what they're doing and things get messed up. That's what Yosef Tainad, these kosnos or that were given over to Adam and Chava, were unbelievable. Yes, Esav and Nimrod captured it for a little bit and took the Shefa for themselves. But otherwise, when Yaakov took it and he knew that the Shefa was going to come down, he grabbed it and gave it over to Yosef and said, you can do it. That's what the dream was. You'll bow down to my stalks of grain. Said Yosef, I'm the grain. I bring the Shefa to the world. I bring the Bracha to the world. You're right, you guys can bring down grain. You'll also have grain. You'll have 11 stalks of grain. Each one of you has the power to bring down grain. But you'll bow down to me. Because my grain is the Iker Shefa behind the entire world. And without me, there's no Shefa in the entire world. The whole world will be bad. The whole world will go down. Guys, this is absolutely ridiculous. So the Shvatim, what did they do? They didn't believe Yosef was that great. So what did they do? They took off his ksonis pasim. They tore it off. They said, you shouldn't have this. You're not the leader. It's anybody that can have it. Anybody can do this. You don't need a Kohen Gadol. You don't need one guy who leads in front of everybody else. Anyone can be that leader. Anyone can be that great. Anyone can do this, said Yosef HaTzadik. He did unbelievable things, Yosef HaTzadik. Things that are beyond our understanding. Things that are just ridiculous to understand. And the Shvatim didn't believe it. So what did they do to prove their point after they tore off the Ksonis Pasim? They threw him into a pit, and what did they do? Vayeshvu l'echol lechem. They sat down to do what? To eat bread. They said, we can be mefarnish ourselves. We don't need Yosef. Yosef's in a pit. Yosef's kilu, he's dead. We don't need Yosef to be in charge. We can sit down and have our own bread. Said Yosef, you're right. For a little bit you will. But eventually you're going to have problems. When they went ahead and they told Yaakov, what did Yaakov Vinu say? Oy vey! Torof torof Yosef! Yosef's gone. Yosef's not going to be here. He took away with him all the Shepa and Parnas in the world. We're not going to have any food anymore. There's going to be a hunger. There's going to be something wrong. Something's going to happen, and it's going to be horrible for Klal Yisrael. That's what Yaakov said, because he knew that Yosef HaTzadik was bringing all the Shefa and Parnas himself, that it wasn't anything else. What happened? Who picked up Yosef? Who picked up Yosef to bring him down to Mitzrayim? The Ishmaelim. What did the Ishmaelim have with them? Usually they carry tar and everything else. They brought kol tuv, the Eretz Yishmael, down to Eretz Mitzrayim. When Yosef went down, everything went with him. All Parnassus went with him. Everything went with him. However, Yaakov was scared. If he doesn't have that Ksonis Pasim, it could be that the Chitzonim, demons, the Tumah of Mitzrayim, will be able to have Shlita over him. That he won't be able to control himself, and that Shefa Parnassus and the Tov is going to be represented in a bad way. It's going to happen in a bad way, and that Paro is going to rule over all the Parnassus of the world, all the Shefa, similar to when Esav took the clothes, or when Nimrod took the clothes, and Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov had to fight them. So that's what he was afraid of. Is he ready for it? That's number one. Yosef decided, when he went down to Mitzrayim, I'll make my own levush. I'll make my own clothes. I'll have everything on my own. I'll do everything on my own. I'll do everything myself. I'll do it myself. So you know what he did? This is beyond normal human understanding. He made his own begadim. He created his own beged, his own levush, his own ksonis pasim while he was down there in Mitzrayim. But the tuma was too much. So what did Zleika, Ishes Potiphar, do? She ripped off the begadim of Yosef HaTzadik. And he was left with nothing again. And the tuma grabbed over that parnas and he was thrown into jail. After that, when he got out of jail, what did he do? He started to make a brand new simla. This one was made with the dreams of Paro, and he knew what he was supposed to do, basically. And he made his own ksonis pasim, and during the 7 days of bracha that were brought down to Mitzrayim and everywhere, he started to gather it all up so that he would be the man of Tov. Man of Tov, and there would be a Rav everywhere else in the world. Said he would be the man of Bracha and Shefa and Parnassa and Toiva and everything good in Mitzrayim, and everyone else, including the Shvatim, including Yaakov Avinu, would have a Rav. Because they wouldn't be able to do anything without the Tzadik Yisod Olam. If Yaakov had the Ksonis Pasim, nobody was able to wear it if they weren't the Tzadik Yisod Olam. They weren't able to affect things without that Ksonis Pasim. Yaakov did not have the power that Yosef did. Yosef was that Tzadik Yisod Olam. There was nobody like Yosef HaTzadik. Absolutely no one like Yosef HaTzadik. Even the greatness of Yaakov, who could not bring Shefa and Parnassa down to the world, only Yosef had that power. And Yaakov knew that. And that's why when he went down, he knew it was over. It was over. He knew there was going to be a rub. And they knew they were going to have to go down to where Yosef was. So when all of a sudden they heard there's food in Mitzrayim, Yeshever be Mitzrayim, they said to themselves, said Yaakov, I'm going to end up going down there. Yosef may still be alive. There may still be a little bit of Yosef left in which he's going to be able to go. That's the pshat of all the mazalos and the kochavim bowing down to Yosef. That everyone, even the entire world, is meshubit to the tzaddik. And if the tzaddik doesn't get it, then the whole world suffers. Yeah.
What did Yosef do that he's this person? That's who he was?
I'm sure that there were things that he did within the first 17 years of his life. But there are people that are born into the system that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants in that way. Rav Yashiv was born into a system in Me'ah Sharim for him to become Rav Yashiv. If he would have been born in Hoboken, New Jersey, he would not have become Rav Yashiv. He would have been a great man, but probably not Rav Yashiv. Because Rav Yashiv was born where he was, so the parents that he was born to, that's what happened. Yosef was born to Yaakov Avinu, as the son from Rachel, as the first son from Rachel. He had an automatic advantage over every other kid there. Automatic advantage. So don't tell me it's not fair. It's fair. Yosef HaTzadik had his tests that he had to go. We don't know what those tests were. And he passed most of those tests. What?
He was the favorite kid.
He was the favorite. You want to call a favorite. That's basically it. By the way, The argument of the Shvatim is the same argument that we see later on by, anybody know? A man by the name of Korach. I don't need a Rebbe. Madua tisnasu al kal Hashem. We're all holy. We don't need a leader. We can all do it ourselves. We can all daven. You don't need a leader. Says Yosef HaTzadik, you do. And I'm it. So what was Yosef's problem? What was his chait? It sounded like too much gaiva. Yosef, you can't be about gaiva if you know you're right. I'm saying, like, if you know you're right, and it's MS that you're right, you're not about gaiva. You're telling the MS. You're telling the truth. Like, if Rabbi Yashin would get up and just say, let's not use Rabbi Yashin. If Ramosha Feinstein would have gotten up in the past generation and said, I'm the God of Lador. He's right. It's not gaiva. He's right. The famous story that I always like saying of Rav Chatzko Obronsky. Rav Chatzko Obronsky got up in court. They said, state your name and position. He said, my name is Chatzko Obronsky. I'm the greatest halachic authority in all of England and possibly all of Western Europe. To which they said, can you have a little bit of humility? To which Chatzko Obronsky said, I'm under oath. Very sharp guy. But he knew. You know who you are. No lie, the other story is with Reb Nachum. He was once in Eretz Yisrael, and he said there's only three lamdanim in Eretz Yisrael. Three people really know how to learn. He said, Reb Nachum Persovitz, Reb Nachum from the Mir, and me. So they said, that's only two. He said, I count as two. Like, he knew who he was. All right, so such a great tzaddik. What happened with Zleika? What happened with Eishes Potifar? What's going on with Eishes Potifar? Says Chassam Sofer, not only was she... Was it a question? She was 100% mutter. He could marry her. You know what happened? Yaakov Ruveni says that Potiphar saw in the stars that he was going to have a great child, and that his wife was going to have a great child, and Yosef was going to be involved as well. He saw their three stars connecting with one another and knew that him and his wife and Yosef were going to have a great child together. But Potiphar was a eunuch. He was a Swiss. He was castrated by the Malach when he had bought Yosef because he had desires for Yosef and he wasn't able to have any children. Says Potiphar, what's pshat? Must be that Potiphar's wife, my wife, Zleika, and Yosef are supposed to be together, and then me and Eishes Potiphar will raise that child, and that child will be great. And not only did he see one child, they saw two children, Ephraim and Menasheh. And they saw that that's what's going to happen. So they looked at it and said, oh, we're going to have tremendous children, said Potiphar to his wife. Let's go for it. And you have to understand something. By a Jew, in order to divorce, what do you need? You need a get. By a goy, what do you need? What do you need to get a divorce? Who says you need a get? By a goy, you know what it might be? There's a machlokis in how to read the Rambam. One opinion is that what you need is the ability to not be together with your wife anymore. Meaning, once he can't be together with his wife, or once they're not being together, obviously together in that way, then all of a sudden, they're divorced. There's no connection between them anymore. It's over. When Potiphar became a Swiss, he became a eunuch, it was an automatic divorce. They were divorced from one another. And they were no longer considered husband and wife. She was mutter. Chassam Sofer says, she was Megayer. She became a Gioris. She went and she ran. And she said, Yosef, I'm ready to marry you. Says Yosef HaTzadik, you're ready to marry me? You're still living under this house. She said, we're divorced. We're gone. We'll be like under them. And me and Potiphar are friends. But we're no longer husband and wife. So let's get married. We'll be together. Everything will be fine. And she was mutter. She was Megayer. And Yosef HaTzadik, when that night came, and nobody else was around, said, It's time to be there. It wasn't so easy to change that decision, to just decide to go around. Now you should know, by the way, Yosef did try a little bit beforehand. He did something called Maisa Shadim. He created a shade, he created a demon, and he dressed the shade up like himself, so that the shade looked like himself, and gave it over to Zleika, so Zleika could be together with that shade. But Zleika knew. Zleika was a witch. She realized this was not a real person. It's got to be a shade. Vatispaseu bebigdo, says the time of an Agim, is Vatispaseu bebugdo. She grabbed onto his betrayal, and said, I know it's not you. I know that was a shade. I want you. I don't want a shade. I want you, Dafka. I don't don't want anybody else. Shkoyach. So what saved him? So everybody knows what came to him. Diyuk no shel Yaakov Avinu. His father's face came down. What does that mean? It just appeared to him in the sky. That's not freaky? Like a disembodied head who's just like, you better not do that. Like, what are you doing here, Dad? What's going on? And plus, Yaakov Avinu didn't even know that Yosef was there. Yaakov Avinu didn't even know that Yosef was alive. How did the appearance of Yaakov Avinu come in front of Yosef? Was it just like the ghost of winter's past, now that we're around Christmas time? Was it the ghost that came about like, whoa, Yosef, I don't want you with Zleika. What happened over here? Plus, what was wrong? Pshat is, Lamaisa, there's Mara Zion involved. She looks like Potiphar's wife. She looks like it. She may not be. She's not halachically. But she looks like Potiphar's wife. So said over HaKadosh Baruch Hu, said Yaakov Avinu to Yosef, you can't do this. This mice is not good. However, and here's the kunt. You know what day it was? It was the day that the Mitzrayim had a great holiday. Crazy holiday on that day. A holiday that was so great that every person in that place celebrated it. They all celebrated and they all ran around and they did this great holiday. You should know there is a great holiday that's mentioned in Chazal that the Christians took on for themselves and called Christmas. Saturnalia, whatever you want to call it. It's the 8 days that are in between the end of the year to the beginning of the year. They're New Year's Eve. Those 8 days were a tremendous holiday for the Goyim. And even the Egyptians had it. It was a chag all the way from Adam Arishon. When Adam Arishon realized that the world, that the sun sometimes, the night, sometimes is longer and longer and longer, and then it stops, and then it goes shorter and shorter and shorter. You know how day becomes longer in the summer, and night becomes longer in the winter. Around this time, around Christmas Eve, is when all of a sudden the season changes, and night becomes shorter again. And at this time, they made a massive chag, a natural chag for all the goyim. And the Mitzrayim held of that chag. It was Christmas night. They're all sitting around the tree, singing carols. The tree in there, Beis Avodah Zarah, singing carols. And there was a tremendous amount of tuman that night. Anybody know about the Hasidic minhag, what they do on Christmas night, or what they don't do? Something called nittel. They don't learn on the night of Christmas. Why not? It's a minute called nittel. Because your learning can give powers to the tumah that's around. Says Rav Wolfson. Yosef held to that. And he didn't learn that night. And when you don't learn, you're not protected by your learning. What happens to you? You get drawn into tumah. Yosef was drawn into the tumah and he wanted to be together with Eishes Potiphar. It was time. But that night happened to be another night as well. It happened to be the night of Chanukah. Chazal say, if you didn't do tshuva on Yom Kippur, don't worry. You can still do tshuva on Hoshana Rabba. If you didn't do tshuva on Hoshana Rabba, don't worry. You can still do tshuva on Chanukah. There's a hand in the sky that's waiting to grab you. That if you do tshuva, it brings you up to a much, much higher level. You know the pshat is behind that hand in the sky? The Kisei HaKavod never comes within 10 tefachim of the ground. Can't come within 10 tefachim of the ground. But on Chanukah, he reaches for the lowest of the low. The guys that are on the ground, the winos, who've gotten themselves into a drunken stupor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu picks them up and says, don't worry, things will be okay. Even in the darkness, even when darkness is the longest night, there's still or. We light a candle for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say, there's still or. The or HaGanuz is still there. The light is still around. We can still bring about the light inside this world. So Hashem reaches down with his Kisei HaKavod, reaches all the way down and picks the guy up and says, you'll be okay. You'll be fine. Don't worry about anything. You'll be okay. We'll save you from this. And that's what happened right there. Yosef's on the ground. He's full of tumah. He can't get out of it. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He took his Kisei HaKavod and put it all the way down to save Yosef HaTzadik. Whose picture is on the Kisei HaKavod? Yaakov Avinu. The diyukan, the faith. face that he had seen of Yaakov Avinu was the face that was on the Kisa Gavra. It was God saving him. And that can happen to anybody. Everybody on Hanukkah can be saved from that. Here we go. You ready? That's the pshat in the second dream of Yaakov. Of Yosef, I'm sorry. What did I tell you before? Where was Yosef standing when the sun, the moon, and the stars were bowing down to him? Where was Yosef? In the sky, right? No. According to this pshat, Yosef was really on the ground. And the sun, the moon, and the stars came down to the ground to bow down to him. He was being merames. That even the Kisak of Shemayim will bring you up from the lowest level that you can ever be at. Shemayim will come down to help you. No matter how low you are, no matter how bad you are, Shemayim will help you. That's what he's trying to be merames. And Yaakov Yinu said, Yosef, how could a person get that low? How could a person be that low? It can't be. But it was true. Vaviv Shamaris Adavor. He waited to see what would happen. And Yosef did get that low. And Yosef was saved. And that's the pshat behind what happened over here. It was Hanukkah. It was Christmas Eve. I don't know if he was watching It's a Wonderful Life, but I'm sure he was. I'm sure that was all that was going on there. It's the absolute craziest thing you've ever heard before in your life. All right, guys, we'll stop with that for now. We'll stop right over there. Have a good Shabbos.